Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry. News, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. We got an action-packed show for you guys tonight. We're going to be joined by Scott Allen from S-Bay Cards, maker of the Superbox and the Super Break products. So we're going to talk a little background about S-Bay Cards and talk about some of the upcoming releases. So that'll be coming up at half past the hour here. Pretty exciting. Excited to have him on the show. The last Super Deluxe we did a couple preview boxes of, and it's a pretty fantastic product. So looking forward to talking to him about that. We're going to talk a little, maybe a little World Cup autos, Bowman prices, all kinds of stuff. Dan, what's going on?
What's going on, Doug? What's new? It's been a couple of weeks,
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks since we've been on the air. It's the all anticipation of our 10 listeners is built up, you know, and they want to hear our voices and hear news about the hobby. So we're here, and I'm actually excited to be on the show today because there's a lot to talk about. It was like something missing in my life for not doing the show, so we're back.
I feel you. I mean, I think last show we were talking about a lot of soccer that was coming out, and it's come out. People have been busting it. The return on investment's been insane. I mean, as long as you hit an auto, it's been ridiculous. Some of the parallels are selling for well. The autos are far and few between, but that actually is shown in the secondary market to be a good thing. Because any auto that you get, I mean, we're talking 40, 50, 60 bucks on upwards to, I think the Messies were going for $700, $800. It may have come down a little bit since then, but really, really good value and sharp-looking cards. They didn't really change the format a lot from previous Prism releases. Still, like, the real shiny. But they did change some of the look of the subsets and the parallels, which were kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the only thing that I am actually thinking, and we've talked about this off air, I have a feeling that come World Cup time, they are going to release a Prism Jumbo version of it.
It's a bold statement.
I don't know. You know, it's a bold prediction that I'm making.
And I'm looking at if they were smart, they would release a higher end soccer product with memorabilia. Cool, like a National Treasures World Cup edition. But since we haven't heard anything about it yet, it's probably not going to happen. But maybe after the World Cup, maybe a couple months after they obtain some jerseys, some game used memorabilia, stuff like that, and then they release like a National Treasures World Cup edition.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I think the Prism writing is possibly on the wall. They released it a month before the World Cup as kind of like, hey, we don't know what to expect from this product. We don't know what it's going to do. But they gave themselves enough time to gauge the market and basically just release more products with A, gold parallels that they didn't put in Prism World Cup regular, if that's what we're going to call it, because I guess it's regular at this point. There was a lot of other colors they could put in there, and then they could put either guaranteed one auto per box or two autos per box and add the colored variations of those autos.
You're right, because they could go the Prism basketball route where they had those orange parallels,
right?
And they had the blue, and they had the blue die cuts, which were numbered to 199. Plus, a lot of the base autos, actually, all the base autos are not numbered. So,
right.
I mean, they can. Who knows how many stickers they still have available of the players who are in the original Prism World Cup set. So, I mean, you're on to something. I mean, it's a possibility.
I think
I would prefer to see I would prefer to see something a little bit different, and I would prefer to see something with some memorabilia from the World Cup in it.
Right. Yeah, me too. I mean, I agree there. But I think that they didn't know what they, you know, what to expect with soccer, and the fact that they did do it with Prism basketball this year. They pre-sold Prism basketball, and then after a week they're like, "Oh, hey, we got Jumbo now." And it's only made, there are only 4,000 cases made. So it's going to be super low print run. There's going to be refractors in every pack. So who wants it? And it skyrocketed. So I could see them going, you know, I don't know how much it costs for a World Cup license, but I'm sure it does cost something. And they're thinking, oh, well, this market is doing better than we expected. I mean, I know they have the stickers that do well as anyway, so they're making money off of that. But they could just see, oh, there's a need for Jumbo with higher and better odds and, you know, maybe $200 per box out of the gate.
Well, I don't think it's a surprise that the soccer is doing as well as it's performing.
Right.
It's once every 4 years, and they are going to have to at least figure out a way to generate more money from their license. So
right.
They're going to have to release another product, and if they don't release it during the World Cup or right after the World Cup, they're going to leave a lot of money on the table. Because they're going to want to open up more soccer products. And I know Prism World Cup was a good product, and they probably made a decent amount of money, but there's definitely a bigger market there for that sport. So I can't see them just doing one product and being like, okay, that was fun. See you again in 4 years when we do it again. I think
right.
you're going to
well,
see
I mean,
a couple more releases.
I think the sticker is their big market. I mean, the stickers make them a lot of money. But my question to you is, would it, if they did Prism Jumbo, would that piss off collectors, being that a lot of collectors went all in on cases of Prism Hobby?
It really depends on how readily available the Jumbo boxes would be.
Right.
I mean, we've seen it in the past when a Bowman product comes out and Jumbos are super hot and they go way up. That also, I mean, the hobbies usually follow,
right.
and they also go up as well because, you know, people can't afford the Jumbo, so they start buying up more hobby. So, I don't know. I think people would still be busting the hobby boxes even if the Jumbo came out. And plus, the Jumbos would be looking at, like, probably close to a $200 price point.
Easily. I mean, I don't know if they could do three autos per box like they did with basketball. It would have to be maybe one promised and then maybe two. Maybe like some boxes may have two. If they did three, I mean, it would have to be like a $300 price point.
I don't see the value there. If they actually just guaranteed one auto per box, I don't see the value there unless
they're
going to
promise
more
color. That's what they're going to do.
So,
and they're going to make mosaic. Yeah, they're going to do another one. They're going to do a different one of one like they did with Prism Jumbo.
So if you can guarantee, say, a six-box case, you can guarantee six autos and one or two golds, then you're looking at a pretty good value. But if you're only getting six autos for, I mean, $1,200, that's a tough sell.
Right. Yeah, it made me wonder why they didn't do the gold autos. Like maybe make, you know, a little bit less base autos and make gold autos for every guy number to 10. They did the prisms, they did the blacks, but there was that big hole. So that's why it makes me wonder if they're doing the gold autos for something else. That's what makes me think there's a possibility for Prism Jumbo World Cup Soccer to come out.
Well, you're onto something because there's been a lot of subtle changes with the different Prism releases. And one thing that's been always consistent is the gold parallels. They've always been the chase cards, and it was weird that they came out with a Prism set that didn't have the gold number to 10.
Right.
Which is kind of like a flagship of that product. It's like
right.
a staple. Everybody's looking for the gold. The gold cards, I think, are some of the best-looking cards in any set, very sharp-looking, and it was weird that they didn't put the gold in the World Cup. And, you know, you may be onto something. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll definitely have to see. I wanted to talk a little NBA now that there's four teams left. You got the Eastern Conference Finals tipping off tonight with Indiana with a 1-0 lead over Miami. Who do you think? Do you think Miami still picks up this series and takes it?
I think they win everything. I think Miami's the best team still in the hunt. Hard to go against LeBron. You know I'm a LeBron homer. So am I.
So we can't actually have a debate during this.
We can't have a debate. I can't even play devil's advocate here because I really want LeBron to win, and I think they're going to win. I would like to see an OKC Miami final. I think that'd be fun to watch.
Well, so does the NBA.
Everybody does.
At this point, Silver would be, kind of upset if there was a San Antonio-Indiana finals, because that's why it's shaping up. It's 1-0 for both of those teams. But obviously early on in the series. My question also is, why do people hate LeBron James so much? What has this guy done that people just hate him so much? I mean, in the chat the other day, Trevor, who's in our room, is, our Miami Heat guy that's in our room. Everybody else calling, the douche, La Flopper, blah, blah, blah. It's like, why do you guys hate on LeBron James so much? I mean, is the worst movie made the press conference and everybody's going to hold that against them? Where, I'm taking my talents to South Beach and everybody, blah, blah, blah. Why do people hate LeBron James so much?
Because he's compared to Jordan. And Jordan is sacred. Nobody's better than Jordan. Nobody can be compared to Jordan. Because LeBron always gets compared to Jordan, and there you can make an argument. We've done it a lot. You can make an argument that LeBron is an overall better basketball player than Jordan. And some people are going to hate that statement, but it is definitely a conversation that happens a lot. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that people who love Jordan hate LeBron, and they have no problem voicing their opinion about it.
Yeah, and I know this topic's been talked about on sports radio, over and over and over again, but it's just mind-boggling, the hatred towards LeBron, who, is exciting to watch. I'm a Warrior fan. I'm going to go see a Warrior Heat game next year just because I want to see LeBron, at least one time, hopefully more than that, but I haven't seen him live, and I want to see LeBron. He's an electrifying player, and he's one of the living legends right now. And when I argue with my friends who, still think that Jordan is the king, I'm going to play the wait-and-see approach. I'm going to wait, until LeBron's retired in the next 10, 15 years, whenever he decides to hang it up. And I want to compare the body of works. Then we'll have a true argument, and we'll see who's better. So, LeBron, 7 championships? Okay, well, then he's got that on Jordan. So let's see what the body of work is going to come out to be at the end of their careers.
Yep.
So, but it's interesting. I really want Panini or somebody else to get. I don't want to see LeBron. Upper Deck cards are nice. Don't get me wrong, but I'm tired of seeing LeBron James in a high school jersey. I want to see LeBron James in a Heat jersey. I know there's Cavaliers cards out there when they still have the license, but I want to see a card with LeBron James' autograph in a Heat jersey. I'm tired of this college stuff. Either they need to give, just the Heat license to Upper Deck, or Upper Deck needs to allow Panini to – something needs to happen. Because how many years are we going to do his whole career and he's going to be in a freaking college uniform? It's same thing with Jordan. Well, I want to see Jordan. I want to see Jordan again in a Bulls uniform. Shoot, maybe even a weird Wizards card with him in a Wizards uniform with an autograph. I don't care. I'm just tired of seeing the North Carolina Blue cards.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're speaking for the masses right now. I think everybody feels that way. But here's the scenarios. You either have Upper Deck pick up the basketball license, which I think we're all on the same page. It's probably not going to happen.
Right.
Or Panini, LeBron James, which I think is a possibility, but it's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of money.
Maybe we could put together, I don't know how many tweets it'll take, Maybe we can put together like a couple thousand people to just tweet LeBron and say we want to see autos of you in a Heat uniform on a card and see if it just continually tweeting them in the off season over and over again. Why are your cards? I mean, he probably won't respond to anybody, but why are your cards in your high school uniform? Why?
Do you think he even realizes that or even cares?
Why do you have me? You would
care because you're a collector.
Well,
but
yeah,
do you think he cares? He's still getting money per auto he signs. It's a picture of him. He's probably like, whatever. I mean, I signed his deal with Upper Deck. He may have a stake in the company. Who knows? It seems like the guys that are left exclusively with Upper Deck would not surprise me if all those guys have stake in the company.
Right. Well,
so,
yeah, I think we've already,
I mean, he's probably like, well, this is the company that I signed with. This is the company I have a little bit of ownership in. I'm going to basically, you know, be the flagship. I'm going to help this company out.
But do you think when he gets his cards, when did they lose the license? You know, it was obviously well before he was on the Heat. So the last 4 to 5 years of him signing stuff, he hasn't asked, like, got another card with me in a high school uniform? Like, this is the third. Like, why? Has he asked why? And they're like, oh, we don't have a license? And he's like, okay. I wonder if he even asked that.
Maybe he's asked people in his marketing department of, like, hey, why is this the case? Why am I in my high school uni? And they're probably like, well, you can leave Upper Deck and you can go somewhere else, but they're not going to pay you as much money as Upper Deck. And at that point, he's probably like, well, it's all about getting as much money as I can. I mean,
well,
I don't
can
know.
Can they Photoshop him out of? I mean, like, because there's only so many photos floating around of him in a high school uniform. Can they Photoshop him out of a Heat uniform? Or maybe they can't even do that. Or they're just like, we have the license, so we have to abide by the college thing. Or,
well,
you know,
I mean, what about this? Why can't they have him like they're doing with the high school picture and whatnot? But why can't they obtain a Heat jersey and obviously put a Heat jersey in a card? Can they not do that? I mean, there's a lot of manufacturers out there that are not licensed, that obviously use, like, game-used memorabilia. You can tell what team it is. They can't do an auto with a Heat jersey?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe it goes against their standards. I mean, you've seen that whole debacle that they had to do with SB Signatures Baseball in 2012 where they couldn't even use photos. So I'm sure they have to abide by some kind of rules.
I was just going to bring that up. You said standards, like protocol. Like, dude, they released a product that didn't have, like, anything on the card.
Right.
It had, like,
but
a,
do you think they...
It had a sticker. It was like, it said the city.
Right. Oh, it was terrible. I mean, it's a good value at the price point it's at now. But do you think that was at the end of the day before they were releasing that product that's what they wanted to do? I don't think so. I think they just had to do it.
I think it was a sticker dump, and they were trying to basically – they had some inventory that they needed to get rid of, and they were like, well, we're going to throw a product with tons of autos, like definitely quantity over quality.
Trevor says standards. They have a dead guy certifying their autos. That's another good question. Why is Richard McWilliams' name still on the back of all the cards? It's a good question.
Yeah. Out of respect.
Does that
maybe.
Like does that run out at some point? They have to like renew that and they have to put somebody else's name on it? I wonder.
You know, it's a really I'm not trying to bash Upper Deck. It's just interesting. The whole deal, the whole company, very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. And they've held on to some big-name athletes that have obviously sold products. So I don't blame them for keeping LeBron and keeping Jordan, keeping Gretzky. Tiger Woods. I mean, those are pinnacles of their sports. So they're able to make products around those guys. But I just feel a real need as a collector to see a Heat auto of LeBron James. And I just wonder, at any point, is that going to happen?
I think there's, like I said, there's two things that can happen. Panini can obtain LeBron James, or Upper Deck can obtain a basketball license, which it's kind of a wait and see with both. I don't think that Upper Deck has the cash flow. I mean, I don't know. I don't know their books. They may be, as far as I know, they may be the most profitable card manufacturer out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But from the outside looking in, I don't see how they have the type of revenue to buy the NBA license.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting concept, and I don't know if Panini's thrown their hat in for LeBron or Jordan, for that matter, and if there's a price. I mean, you think any out of all the people that could do it, it would be Panini. I mean, obviously, Topps doesn't seem to care about basketball, but you know, you think Panini would try to throw that long money, especially with their high-end Flawless releases coming out. Could you imagine, you know, if Flawless came out and it was the first LeBron, or NT had the first LeBron RPAs in a Heat uniform? I mean, it would be insane.
I don't think you'll ever see Panini pluck one of those guys away from Upper Deck, but I think there's a chance that maybe they'll buy all of Upper Deck, including all the guys who are exclusively signing for them, and they'll buy the
yeah.
whole brand, and Panini will basically become, I don't know if they'd probably try to keep the two companies as separate as possible, and it would make sense for Panini to start making Upper Deck products with their license and keep the Upper Deck name, and don't Panini call it Upper Deck. Like, don't call it, like, Panini the Cup or something like that. Keep Panini Exquisite. Keep it Upper Deck, and try to keep them the two manufacturers, because Upper Deck does have a name that still sells products.
Right. But they base – I mean, the problem with them is – can you remember – I mean, we don't open a ton of Upper Deck, but can you remember a big hit out of any Upper Deck basketball that wasn't LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
No. I mean, that's what they use to sell their product.
Right.
Theoretically, let's go ahead and say Exquisite comes out and Upper Deck doesn't have – Jordan or LeBron. Does that product sell at all? $50 a box?
No.
Absolutely not. That is a $100 product, best case scenario.
Right.
So they use those guys solely to move their products.
Yes.
So without those guys, you just don't have NBA releases from Upper Deck.
Right, and they're going to hold on. I mean, I would too. I don't blame them at all.
I feel like this show's like starting. It's a little serious. Liven it up a little bit.
You know, I'm tired. I just want to see LeBron in a Heat uni. That's it. That's all. Just want to see him in a Heat uniform or a Cavaliers uniform again. It's like 2008, 2009 was the last year that he was in a licensed product, and I just want to see it.
Say whatever,
what
dude. I want to see LeBron James in a Golden State uni, like, playing basketball, though.
in real life, yeah.
In real life. That's what I want to see.
Well, you know, we're approaching the rookie premiere. It's about 11 days away, and me and Dan will be at the rookie premiere, so follow our Twitter accounts. Follow Mojo Break first. Maybe do a little bit of tweeting from at Card Radio Live, but we're going to try to take as many pictures as possible from the rookie premiere. They haven't announced who's going to be there yet, but I have heard there's going to be 40 guys this year. So, I mean, we can count, and this is the, you know, NFL rookie premiere. This is, if you don't know, if you're new to the hobby and you're wondering what the rookie premiere is, it's where they take all their photos for most, if not all, the NFL product releases for the year from Topps and Panini. So these guys take several photos, and they do signings pretty much all day long there. And that's where most of your first product on-card autos like Prestige and Bowman Signatures or Bowman, whatever they're calling it this year, that's where they come from. They also sign a ton of stickers there as well. I was actually talking to Ryan, who couldn't make it on the show today, but he heard that they're each player signing a minimum of 2,500 autos while they're there.
Wow.
So
well,
that's between
I mean,
1,250 minimum per company.
We saw it last year. I mean, I know I brought it up already, but Niall Davis was sitting there. He must have been signing for 2 hours. I felt bad for the guy. He needed a hug. I mean, he was like, I mean, it was like a giant photo album full of stickers, and he was just having at it. And he must have been there for 2 hours just signing for games.
Came up.
And then you had guys like Stedman Bailey who was like, I mean, he was calling. He was like, come on, Panini. He was like, how much more do I got to sign? This is ridiculous. And, I mean, they definitely put those guys to work. But all in all, it's a good time. And a lot of the players are pretty excited to be there because it's the first time they're really putting on their team's jersey, running out there. Plus, they're interacting with a lot of their peers, a lot of the guys who got drafted at the same time. They probably went to school with some of these guys. They probably played against some of these guys. So you see a lot of the players like kind of BSing around and having a good time. So overall, it's a cool environment. And I can't. They're having 40, huh? So I guess you can count on Clowney probably being the only defensive player there.
Well, he's been confirmed because Panini actually released news that they signed him, and that's where I actually saw the news that they're going to have 40 guys. So it said Clowney, along with 39 other rookie premier guys, will be at the rookie premier. And also, for you guys, it's at the Rose Bowl in Los Angeles. Actually, I don't think that's the – Rose Bowl's not – it's the Los Angeles area.
It
shows my
Pasadena.
Pasadena? Pasadena. So the legendary Rose Bowl stadium where USC plays, that's where the photo shoot will be going down. You walk in, you got players, this is based on what we saw last year, you got players catching passes, that's where they're taking photos, throwing passes if you're a quarterback, you know, running the ball, if you're different poses they have you do, and they take several hundreds of photos of each guy. And then there's another booth where they're signing autos for Topps, and then there's another booth where they're signing autos for Panini, and then there's actually a massage station. So there's a massage station, you know, because they don't want them to get that carpal tunnel or anything. So they got these people doing the massages on them in between the different events. And it starts, I think, it actually goes over the whole weekend, but this actual portion usually starts around 8 and goes to about 3 or 4. And there's a lot some media there. It'll be interesting to see with a bigger rookie class this year if there's going to be more, like, media attention there, like meaning ESPN, maybe more ESPN presence, more media outlets allowed into the Rose Bowl. There really wasn't a lot of people there last year. It was like,
yeah,
and,
but
you know, Panini had like 15 people. Topps had 15 people.
Didn't have Johnny Football though.
It's gonna be
pretty chaotic this year.
It's gonna be nuts. I look forward to it. You know, it's a good time down there. You know what? Me and Ryan were talking about Althea. We're talking about it. Why do they make them? Why do they make them sign in their pads? Wouldn't you think that they would have the, you know, bring them into an air-conditioned room and, you know, maybe they'll do that this year. You know, I always thought, why they're in full pads, which is nice for them because that's the first time they put on these pads, right? But then they have them sign in the heat in the pads while they're signing their autographs. You would think they would just take the pictures and have them change and then go in another room and air-condition with some refreshments and sign, you know, so they can write out their full
–
They can write up their.
They give them a tent. They're under a tent.
They are under a tent, but it was pretty warm out there.
Tent.
I came back and I was burned, man. I was burned out.
Yeah,
it was Southern California heat.
It was in the 90s. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it was hot. I mean, I was sweating and I didn't have pads on. I wasn't running around. I was just kind of walking around. I mean, I'm not in great shape or anything, but it was hot. It was hot.
I was gonna say. You know you're old and out of shape when you're just walking around sweating. And these guys are, like, catching passes, throwing around. They're not even breaking a sweat, right? That's when you know you need to hit the gym and put down the Gordita Crunch.
Oof.
Or the
don't want to put
the
love it.
Or the waffle taco for that matter in the morning. You know, put one of those down. Hit a treadmill, and then maybe you can get your own rookie premiere photo shoot going on. You know, that'd be in a little bit better shape.
Yeah.
So, yeah, or like Ryan says in the chat, you can enjoy the gordita and waffle while working out. Yeah, you can get your meal and burn the calories all at the same time. That's a goal of mine for this year.
Oh, yeah.
So, actually, we have Scott Allen on the line. So, I'm going to go ahead and bring him on and talk about S-Bay Cards, their new releases. They got an awesome release coming out this week, which is the Super Deluxe Baseball, which we've already done two preview boxes, and the product is fabulous. So we're going to have him talk a little bit about that. We're going to go ahead and bring Scott Allen on the show. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me today. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate you coming on.
How's everything going in Mojo Land?
Oh, it's going great. You know, yeah. Living the dream, you know, having fun, as always. Can't
That's right.
At all.
We got the best jobs in the world, let me tell you.
Exactly. So, you know, just to kind of start it off, I mean, a lot of people know about you, but we wanted to kind of give us a little background on how you got started in the hobby and when your shop opened.
Seems like a million years ago, but we started card collecting as a family back in about 1979, 1980, which turned into opening up a small retail store in 1986, which grew into, you know, retail and wholesale and card shows and e-tail and... And our first product we actually produced in 1998. So we're about a 16 to 17 year, about on our 17th year of Super Sports products, and it's going great. People seem to really love what we're putting together, and the best compliments you can have is if it's well received by the collecting community, and they love and support what you have, as well as your contemporaries are giving you calls and emails. Hey, nice job, great product. It makes us feel real good.
Absolutely. And so your shop is in Lomita, California, correct?
We do. We've been in the Southern California area since 1986. The city's Lomita, and some people know us as South Bay Baseball Cards or S-Bay Cards or S-Bay. And some people are getting to first know us now as bringing them, you know, super break sports products and last year's super box products. So they're first getting to know us by what our releases that have been coming out over the last 14 to 18 months. The community seems to really embrace the way that we care for everybody and put together, you know, rock-solid products. And we're getting some really good information on and feeling from people on the 2014 couple of releases that we've had so far.
Absolutely. And just to let everybody know, it looks like you guys have I don't know how new the site is, but it's superbreaksports.com, and that gives you guys info on the Super Break products. Tell us a little bit. You guys got the box break video. Tell us a little bit about the Super Break Sports website.
Super Break Sports website was overhauled from last year's old superbox.co website, which serves as just an informational site as to the, you know, the products, the sales sheets, and the information on what exactly we've built, the launch dates, as well as the partners that we have in the country, whether they be breakers or e-tailers, and where you can get our products. We don't sell direct to the consumer. We have a freestanding, you know, corporation that sells products, you know, to the distributors and to the breakers, and, you know, the end consumers, you know, can find it that way. So if you have a favorite breaker like Mojo Breaks, or you shop at a particular store in the country and they don't have a Super Break Deluxe box, or they don't have any Super Six Packs, which seem to be pretty hot over the last 4 weeks, definitely let them know to give us a call and get in contact with us, and we'll make sure that we get you guys the product that you need to make the people happy.
Awesome. Yeah, we've been thrilled with the Super 6 football, and now with the Super Deluxe, we've really seen a just good quality, and everybody seems to be happy. And tell us a little bit about your first product. So your first product was in, you said, 1998?
1998, we brought the first, for about 5 years between 1998 and 2003, we had made products called Incrediboxes and Superboxes, and we had made those usually for our local community who had challenged us to make a great box of cards with existing great material. And really, you start making those products based on the type of stuff that you like. You know, you know, we as collectors, my father and I, and we got into Mantles and Koufaxes and Mazes and Cobbs and Roots, so we love that type of stuff. You know, the new hot rookies, and it seems like the products that we've been building the last couple of cycles have been with all the hot Bowman Chrome, Topps Chrome, you know, Panini National Treasures, Exquisite Collection, and different things like that that collectors will want. The most fun, you know, things to track down are some of those vintage pieces that are pretty tough, some of those real off-the-wall autographs, and, you know, tough-to-find collectibles. So we're able to really just put together a meat and potatoes product. So, you know, no small stuff, lots of great stuff. The proof is in the pudding. As you guys are opening our stuff, you know, it's either going to put up or it's not. And, you know, this year I think you're going to see product over product. We're going to continue to get better, produce exactly what the consumer base is looking for, and really try to wow people.
Absolutely. That you kind of just touched on that, but what was one of your hardest items to acquire?
You know, we ended up with, you know, over a dozen really neat quality pieces that were historical White House autographed PSA certified documents, you know,
nice.
Letters from Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Teddy Roosevelt and, you know, Hoover and Truman and some just really scarce pieces. The piece that I really loved acquiring the most was a Picasso autograph. We also ended up purchasing several certified Babe Ruth autographs for this product. Jackie Robinson, Andy Warhol, Jesse Owens, just some fabulous names. So collectors are going to continue to open up this deluxe product and end up with all the hot new rookies and, you know, the top quality best names you can think of, as well as their certified autograph collectibles, as well as back into the vintage era of not just sports athletes that are famous in baseball, but historical figures. The Picasso piece definitely takes the cake.
Yeah, and that's, you can find that in the Super Deluxe Baseball product that's actually releasing on Friday.
Releasing on Friday. We've seen a few early release boxes that we spotted throughout the country to give people a taste and kind of wet their whistle for this, you know, new bar that we've, you know, set for this, you know, baseball repack realm. Well received, which we're very grateful and humbled by, you know, the reception from everybody. You know, we do pay attention to what some of the different collectors say and continue to try to better our products based on what collector feedback, breaker feedback, distributor feedback we get. So product over product, you'll continue to see us, you know, hit these new benchmarks in 2014. The best is yet to come with this product.
Definitely. And now, was there an item that you had that you had either purchased or had in your collection that was just kind of hard to let go?
I you know, it was... That Picasso piece was pretty sweet. You know, some of these things, you know, as coming from the collector, you know, which I'm still a collector, you know, for 30-something years now, you know, different things are kind of tough. You know, you have a 1909 Honus Wagner e-card, you know, that's, you know, you purchased it for the product. You know you're going to pack it, but you're looking at it going, wow, somebody's going to open this up and hit this. They're going to love it. You know, Babe Ruth vintage card or a 34 Lou Gehrig or, you know, Picasso or Ruth autograph. You know, just some tremendous pieces. So it's, you know, we do this for the community, for the collector base. We love the breakers getting excited. You know, they're talking about these new baseball deluxe boxes. Some of the boxes talk to them because we put these really cool voice option features in there. So you watch a community that's got, you know, a bunch of people in a mojo room, and you got a box that you're going, and, you know, they're hoping that you open it up and the box starts talking to you. So we get just a big kick is trying to create these new different things as people do when they open them, and just, you know, truly humbled by the way that everything has matured for us.
Definitely. Yeah, if a box started talking to me, I don't know, I might think there's a ghost in the room or something. It might run out. But then I would come back and realize that I need to open the thing up first and figure out what's in there, right?
Yeah, it depends what the box is saying to you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, speaking of stuff that you like, what's your favorite product of all time? If you had to pick one, or maybe there's a couple.
Tough one. I mean, if I'm just shooting from the hip here, the high quality Upper Deck, you know, products that were made in the 2003 to 2009 area, some of their basketball products, Exquisite Collection and, you know, Premier and some of that really neat stuff, you know, fantastic product runs. We really love vintage baseball from 1887 to 1960s cards. You know, that stuff still really turns us on to be able to acquire and accumulate. Obviously, the whole Bowman Chrome, you know, and different Bowman products phenomenon over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, that's truly where the heart of collecting is on the modern card end. You know, I guess those would be the highlights right there. And I guess you kind of see what we like because that's some of the same types of items that are coming out of, you know, our products. Our Super Six Packs are loaded with one of ones and super fractors and, you know, different, you know, booklet cards and graded 9.5s and 10s. We're literally buying all the great stuff that we like and turning it right around to the collector.
Sure. Yeah, and that kind of answered the question of the, I was just about to ask about, you know, what kind of cards and items you look for, but I think you pretty much hit that one on the head right there. So what are your thoughts on the growing segment of repack products? It seems like, and you guys have been doing it a long time, you know, longer than almost everyone, and it seems like there's a lot of other, you know, manufacturers joining in on the segment of the market.
It definitely is an area that, you know, has had some more action in that vein, especially over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, some of my colleagues, they do a fantastic job with, you know, building some of their different products. I think that, you know, the proof is going to be in the pudding. You know, product after product, you're going to see something that you like, and you like the content, you like the, a lot of collectors talk about, you know, return on investment. You know, we still maintain that, you know, baseball card collecting and card collecting in general is a great hobby, and something that you can share whether you're opening up a personal box or you're sharing it with your kids or nephews or, you know, family in general or friends online. That's the beauty of what this hobby is that you can get in, you know, at any different level and collect the different types of things that you like and that turn you on. I think that we'll, you know, we'll continue to separate ourselves and be on the top of this, you know, repack and repurposing world, because number one for us is, you know, the collectors and wanting them to really be able to afford our different products and also end up scoring some really neat stuff when they open up, whether they're opening up our six-pack line or a deluxe line. Some of these products are not inexpensive, and we know that. So we want to make sure that the return to the collector, they're really getting the types of items that they'd like at the rate that they'd like to get them as well. So I think that when you look at the Super Break sports product items that we'll put out, you know, coming out in the future, you'll have the same feel as you have with the six-packs, as you have with the deluxe products, which will hopefully continue to wow people as we try to continue to raise the bar.
Yeah, and I like the element of the historic, you know, Americana that you guys have been throwing in there. Like, we pulled a Truman 8x10 as well as a Jack Dempsey 8x10 in both of our two different breaks of Super Deluxe. Is that something you guys are going to be adding more into upcoming releases such as Super Deluxe?
Not only just the Super Deluxe, but you're going to see that Super Six-Pack line continue to evolve because, you know, the Deluxe boxes are not inexpensive. It's about a $3,000 SRP box. The six packs are a third of the price with some great content. And we started putting some of the different historical pieces into products, you know, 10 years ago when I had an Elvis Presley autograph and a football product. And people, you know, said, well, how do you draw Elvis Presley into a football product? Well, you know, they're both America, you know. Football's America.
Right.
Elvis Presley's America, you know. If I could stick an apple pie in there and without it melting all over the cards, I'd do that too because that's America. it's a trip because, you know, we see some of this these neat things get pulled. We've come up with some really cool ideas, and the best is really yet to come for us because some of these releases we'll have in June, July, August, and September, I think are really going to hit home with a lot of collectors. You know, create a lot of good noise. It's a fun thing that we get to do, and I can't take all the credit for us. I've got a couple of great partners that are just as excited and inventive, and, you know, are on the same page as myself, where it's community and card collector first, and everything else second.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, some of the cards that, you know, I know you guys acquired the Puig and I think somebody else acquired the Abreu, but you start to look at some of these values of the cards, it's like, what's if somebody's stopping them from putting keys to a new car in a box? I mean, it's almost the same price as some of these cards. Wouldn't that be kind of exciting to pull a keys to a new, you know, Beamer or something, and now you got yourself a new car you pulled out of a baseball card product?
You make a good point there. Had that idea about 10 or 15 years ago. Got talked out about that from my father because of liability, of course.
Gotcha.
But, the superfractor, that you just touched on, that whole, phenomenon over the last few years has been fantastic. We've actually just in the last maybe 2 weeks, we purchased the Abreu unautographed superfractor,
nice.
Mike Trout autographed rookie superfractor. Mark Appel, who's one of the top pitching prospects, his autographed superfractor, and a few other different secrets that we're going to put into a couple of next releases, which should be fun.
I got a couple questions in the chat. Martin's, and he said, "What's the most expensive acquisition in any of your products, if you can tell us?"
I can tell you that some of the superfractors end up being on the top of the totem pole as far as cost. A couple of the more expensive acquisitions for product are actually coming to fruition here in May. So I appreciate Martin's question, and I'll make sure that I have more information as it comes out on sales sheets for our new Super Six Pack Hockey and some of our other different releases that are coming out this summer, some exclusive July releases for the Cleveland National, and other different items that are going to be, specific for the breaking community.
Absolutely. And actually, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to thank the Mojo community for signing on today and having me on, and the different people that are involved in the room that are asking questions and listening to us.
Absolutely, and we're honored to have you on. And actually, what I was about to say is that actually segued into a great question, because Ryan asked a question of anything set for a release at the National this year.
Yes, we have a specific product or two that will be for the National will be with the Breakers, be with a couple of e-tailers and retailers on the floor as well. We've got the right around the June 1st slate date for dropping our Super Six Pack Hockey, which will be a premium stuffed like a Thanksgiving turkey product, as well as a couple of other surprises that'll be coming down the chute the next 30 to 60 days. Some of this information will be on SuperBreakSports.com. Some of this information will go to directly to the Breakers and be information that ends up on our Facebook and Twitter as well. Our MO is to just keep it fun and keep it exciting and try to stay on the cutting edge. So I think that the proof will be with the different products that come out over the next couple few months and how the Breakers receive it and the retail stores receive it and how the collectors like it. We appreciate getting those emails with all that feedback. It makes us feel good.
Yeah, we got a couple more questions before, we don't want to take too much of your time, but Brian actually also has another question of, what is your favorite memory of collecting?
Wow, great question, and thank you. I started collecting cards with my father when I was about five. He used to tell stories about Sandy Koufax, watching Koufax when he was younger, and Mantle and Mays, and one of my favorite memories is saving up, $5 worth of allowance and ending up in a coin shop who had 1 3-shelf display case and picking out my first baseball card for $5, which was a 61 Topps Hank Aaron card number 415. Just like the fact that he was smiling and had his arm back ready to throw a baseball, and it's just a good fond memory, which was back in the 80s, it was either a liquor store or a coin shop, maybe had a shoebox with the cards. That was pre the whole card store boom in the late 80s. Those were good times. Actually sitting on the floor and doing trades with my brother and my dad, and some trades for 3 cards would take 2 hours. My dad always felt like he was the one that was getting hosed, but those memories will live on forever. Now I hope to do that stuff with my son. Getting down and opening up packs, learning how to put cards in pages and watching the ball game. It's just the greatest hobby in the world.
Absolutely, it is. And what is your personal biggest pull ever, Martin asks?
That's a good one. Back around 95, 96, I think I burned a few packs of a Topps Finest basketball product. I ended up pulling a Michael Jordan refractor card. And at the time, I think the card was probably a $500 to $1,000 card. That's probably the biggest pull that I've ever had. We've actually in our store, we've had some really cool pulls at South Bay over the course of 27 years. You know, neat cut cards from Upper Deck Products and Panini Products, which was formerly the Donner's Company, and Topps Products, which have always had great content. I also tip my hat to Brian from the Leaf Company, who continues to also stay on the cutting edge and makes fantastic products for the hobby. He's doing an awesome job as well.
Absolutely, yeah. We always praise Brian and his innovations in this hobby as well, and what he's bringing to the table. So, one of the questions I had that I wanted to ask you: if you could meet any athlete, who would it be?
Sandy Koufax.
Nice.
Sandy Koufax would probably be first on the charts. I can't meet Babe Ruth anymore. That would have been fun. I got lucky enough to spend about 5 minutes with Michael Jordan back in March of 2000. Just had randomly ran into him at a club in Scottsdale, Arizona. Just had to be in the right place at the right time. And Mike was a good role model for a lot of us kids in the 80s and 90s, so I made sure that he knew that we appreciated him.
Nice. Take it you're a Los Angeles Dodgers fan.
Yeah, you know what? I'm that weird guy that is a hometown team guy. It's, Lakers and Dodgers and Kings first and UCLA Bruins. But if the Trojans are in, or if the Clippers are in, or if the Ducks are in, or Angels, we cheer for hometown team first and then start pushing out throughout the rest of the country.
Nice.
But our boys in blue are looking pretty good.
The only shows that you'll find a Giants fan and a Dodgers fan talk cordially here, so because of the hobby brings us together. So
it's been getting a little more peaceful lately, hasn't it?
It has, yes, it has.
We got a lot of respect down here for Posey and Sandoval and some of these cats. Tim Lincecum has had a great career so far. So Giants are looking good too, but Dodgers are 26 years without a championship. Giants have gotten a couple lately. I think it's time for the pendulum to swing down here, don't you think?
Yeah, we could go another 50 years and be happy. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm going to get a big fat no from a Giants fan, but hey, it's all good. We love you.
Yeah, same here. We respect Kershaw. I mean, the guy's always a Giants killer, and Ethier seems like he hits a home run off of Lincecum every time he at bat. So, you guys got a good little squad, and it's always a fun challenge. So,
this is true. This is true. There's some knockout, drag-out series. I love them.
Yep, for sure. Now, before we let you go, we want to let you let everybody know about your upcoming release. The Super Deluxe does come out on Friday. And what do you have coming on down the pipeline? Tell everybody about some upcoming releases.
Super Deluxe will release Friday, and we don't have many units left. It was a short printed, or short made 150 unit production. Should be spread throughout the country. Hopefully, Mojo will continue to support us there. Their people will end up pulling some really neat and big stuff. Then we turn our attention in about a couple of weeks. We'll release the Hockey Super Six Pack in time for Stanley Cup action, which that will be stuffed and exciting as well. Then I think that the demand is there for our Series 2 of baseball six packs and football six packs, which will be summer releases in June and July. And then a couple of exclusive special national releases, which should take us through into the August realm. And then I see us putting together a really neat football product at the beginning and the start of football season, as well as bringing back our Rookie and Phenoms product that we had last year. That was a pretty big hit and success, especially with that Super Fractor Puig card and all the other great content in there. So that's pretty much on the table, and I think in between there, you'll see a couple of surprises.
Awesome. And let everybody know, we know the website, superbreaksports.com, and let everybody where they can find you on Twitter and other avenues of finding out about your products.
I appreciate that. Superbreaksports.com, or you can email us at info@superbreaksports or superbreaksports@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is still at SBayCards, as well as our Facebook SBayCards, which we put a bit of information there. And I'm the type of guy with an open door policy, phone calls and emails and talking cards and product. It's what I enjoy to do every day. So the team I have gives us a lot of great support. enables us to put together some awesome products. So I hope that you guys will stay in touch with us, and we appreciate all the support that we're getting from the retailers and e-tailers and breakers and distributors out there. It's really nice to have a fantastic supportive industry like we have.
Absolutely, and I can vouch for that. We actually did a Super Breaks Phenom product, and a customer had a question for Scott, and he actually was able to get a hold of Scott on a Sunday, which, I mean, that's absolutely crazy. So, and via phone, you know, and responding to emails right away. So just absolute great customer service. I wound up sending him a Mickey Mantle card just for free, you know, and a customer was ecstatic. So absolute top-notch customer service from S Bay as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
All right, Scott, well, thank you again for coming on. We'll have to do it again soon, and, you know, we'll be breaking some more of your products and, you know, keep spreading the good word.
Anytime. I appreciate you guys very much and the rest of the community, and if they don't know us, hopefully they'll get to learn us a bit, and with you guys, we appreciate the growing relationship, and thanks again for all your support with our Super Sports products.
Absolutely, man. Thanks again. Have a good one.
Have a great week, and hope everybody enjoys the launch of that Super Deluxe Baseball.
I think they will. I think they already have, and I think they will continue. So
sounds good. Take care, gentlemen.
All right, take care.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
All right, take care. All right. There it was.
Good, good.
Come out.
Good, good, good interview right there. That was some good stuff.
Thanks. I know you
enjoyed that.
I guess it was good. It was Scott.
It was
very
good.
Knowledgeable. Scott's very knowledgeable, and, you know, his product speaks for himself, and you know, having that customer service, like I just said, that customer service angle, because that goes a long way. And, you know, we try to, you know, and I'm not patting ourselves on the back by any means. Just, you know, we try to go for that, too. We try to put, you know, Mojo Break tries to put ourselves in your shoes, too. So if there's a bad box or something's wrong with shipment, even if the post office loses the card or something, we try to accommodate. And you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that do that, but I've seen it firsthand with S Bay on taking care of the customer. So goes a long way. And believe me, people see that, people realize that, and it keeps you going.
That's what it's all about.
So, yeah, good stuff. And, you know, shameless plug, we're doing Super Break Deluxe tomorrow, actually, our third pre-release box. I think Dan will open it this time because I've opened two of them already. I've been hogging them. Yeah, I've had a lot of fun opening them. So Dan's going to open this one as long as you guys fill it up for us. Yeah.
I'm stoked. I mean, I was watching the breaks. I saw the first one he did, and that was ridiculous. That was so much value. It was insane. I loved it. So I'm super excited to open up it's the third one, right? This is the third one we're doing?
Third one we're doing, yeah.
Third one? So.
Yep, third one. Our third pre-release, and I think we may have one more, and who knows, maybe we'll get some more if you guys like it. So it's a fun little product. Everybody seems to get value. I mean, we pulled a 1999 World Series signed ball certified by Steiner with all the Yankees on there, Jeter, you know, David Cone, Paul O'Neill, Mariano Rivera, Joe Torre, all of them on there. I mean, it was an amazing buzz, like a $1,500 plus ball out of one of the boxes. So, and it actually wound up going to a New York collector, which was even better. Puig in the next box, that one I talked about, Herbert Hoover, the Dempsey, Posey-Otto, 101 McCutcheon. It was just loaded. There was just crazy stuff coming out of the Super Break Deluxe. And you can really see that he's, you know, learned, or not that he's learned, you probably already knew, but he's picked the right kind of cards to put in the set and try to bring the most value to everybody in the break. So,
and each box does have a sketch card, right?
Yes, a 101 sketch. So there's usually 11 items, 11 items in the box.
So I know the box that I saw opened up, there was two balls. Was there two balls in the one that you opened up as well?
Well, now you're just getting personal.
No,
yes. Yes, there was two signed baseballs in the one that I
two signed opened. Baseballs?
Nice. Correct.
Nice. Family show, bro. Family show.
Yeah, it was who was in that one? It was a Will Myers and a Buster Posey in the second one. And the first one was Chris Bryant and the Yankee sign ball. And there's a full – it was a jersey in both, too. One was Cal Ripken and one was Johnny Bench. So really good pieces to have on your man cave or, I don't know, maybe if you're Dan, you put it in your car somewhere, hang it up while you're driving.
Dude,
you know, something like that.
You know me. You know me. My car is my man cave.
So, you know, before we had Scott on, we were talking about the rookie premiere. And, I mean, what do you think going forward? I mean, how do you like 2014 with this crop of rookies that, you know, we can kind of figure out who's going to be in products? I mean, what do you think? Are you looking forward to it? Do you see any downside to the 2014 rookie class? What are your thoughts?
Let's see. I've been looking forward to the 2014 rookie class since, I'd say April or May of 2013. this rookie class, not that like last year's rookie class was awful. I still think there's going to be some good players that are going to emerge out of last year's rookie class, and they already have. I think Robert Woods is going to be a good player. Keenan Allen's going to be a good player. Le'Veon Bell, Eddie Lacy, Giovanni Bernard. And there's going to be other guys that are going to emerge and be good players. But knowing that Manziel was probably going to come out, and knowing that you had Clowney coming out and Watkins coming out and Lee coming out, and I mean, the Rams got Trey Mason, which I'm super stoked about because I know he's probably going to be a rookie premier guy. So I was getting scared there for a while thinking, I mean, I wasn't sure if the Rams were going to have a rookie premier guy, but I would be surprised if Trey Mason wasn't there. Yep.
I won't bore people with that song, but that is the Los Angeles Rams rap song.
Dude, you didn't even let it kick in.
Well,
I mean, you missed.
Sorry.
It was gonna. That's where it starts bumping. You ruined it.
Yeah. I started to regurgitate my mouth. So I had to stop. I didn't want to all over the mic while we were on the show. So I didn't want to play that. But if you Google it, if you go to YouTube, you put in Ram It, Los Angeles Rams, you'll be thoroughly entertained by this, what you call a video that this football team put out in the 80s. It's very entertaining.
Those guys, any one of them could have cut an album and been, I mean, gold records for days. I mean, no doubt. That's good quality rapping there.
Eric Dickerson is should get back into holding on to the football. That's what I say. Hold on to the football. But, I mean, looking over – yeah, you guys got a good pick in Trey Mason. I mean, you know, Carlos Hyde for the Niners. You know, there's just – every team seems to have Carlos Hyde, Ohio State. Guy dropped in the second round. Your guys was a third-round running back, so obviously – you know, there's a little bit more talent in the second round there.
So if you didn't play for the full season, could you go back to the rookie premiere and do it all over again, Marcus Lattimore? Can he do the rookie premiere again? Because I don't think we have enough Marcus Lattimore autos out there. Let's get another 5,000 of them.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't complain at all. But, no, I mean, as just looking over the list, I kind of put a my prediction for the rookie premier list together. And, I mean, with the exception of the Cowboys, the Chargers, and then maybe the Redskins, it seems like every team could possibly be represented. And maybe with the exception of the Ravens because they have a third-round tight end, so don't know. But, I mean, some of the big-money teams, I think, are going to be the Jaguars with Bortles, Marquise Lee, and Allen Robinson. So you got a first, second, third rounder, two receivers, one quarterback. So if you're buying in on early breaks, you know, that might be a team for value. I think, like, Bortles will sell well. I mean, the Raiders, Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, don't know how well Khalil Mack's going to sell because he's an offensive linebacker. But, I mean, he's an outside linebacker. He's a linebacker. I don't know why I said
offensive linebacker. I like it. I like new.
Gotta lay off the new wacky tobacco there on that one.
New position. I like it. I like it. I dig it.
Multifaceted player. Trey Mason. Do you think Michael Sam's gonna be at the rookie premiere?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
There's already going to be one defensive guy there. That'll be Clowney. Do I think there's going to be a lot? I think there's going to be a lot of Michael. Michael Sam was a seventh rounder. I think there's going to be a lot of Michael Sam autos out there. Is he going to be at the rookie premiere? Probably not. Is he going to be in like every product? Probably.
See, if he had signed that Oprah deal and he didn't back out of that Oprah deal, I think he would have been at the rookie premiere, because it would have just, like, Oprah would have called up Panini and Topps and the NFLPA and been like, look, we need to get him in here because we need to have another show on the rookie premiere.
So did he back out of that?
Yep.
Good for him.
Actually, it's the complete opposite. I think the community is upset that he backed out of that, because they said that now he's just falling in line like the rest of people. Because the Rams had a team meeting. The Rams had a meeting, and they decided it wasn't good for the team to have that show, and he basically said okay.
Well, because I – mark my words, the Rams are going to be on Hard Knocks. It's going to happen. The Rams are one of, I think, into it, and it's going to be the Rams. And they can't do both. They couldn't do the Oprah show and the Hard Knocks. So it was going to be either or, and they probably were like, we're going to do the Hard Knocks show.
Well,
We're gonna be forced into it.
Well, I think I just did a little Google search and I found a site called thebiglead.com, and they say it's safe to assume the Rams won't be the team because there's already enough interest around Michael Sam, and the team got the rookie to postpone his documentary series. So they say the show is between the Cardinals, the Bills, the Bears, the Jags, the Giants, the Raiders, the Steelers, and then possibly the Rams. So this site's actually picking the Cardinals with the Honey Badger, and they're thinking that Larry Fitzgerald, Darnell Dockett, and then, you know, you got Logan Thomas as a rookie quarterback coming in there. They're thinking that that may be the number one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you really want to see your – I mean, well, I guess you do. Yeah, I guess you do want to see your team on HBO. You'd probably play the Ramit song while you're watching it. Wear your Jim Everett jersey or something. I mean, it'd be just like a love fest for your team. But I think Hard Knocks is like the new Madden curse, personally. I don't think you want to be on there. I think when you're on that show, your team is going to suck for the year.
Is that science? Break it down?
Well, I mean, what team has been on there and won a Super Bowl or even made it to the playoffs? I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Dude, Barry Sanders was on the cover of Madden. Nothing happened to him.
Because no players want to – well, he's retired. Yeah, what happened to him was the mic was – yeah, you know what the curse brought him? He looked like an idiot because the mic was over his head when he was talking on the podium. That's what the Madden curse brought.
Wasn't over his head.
Roger Goodell is like 8 inches taller than Barry Sanders, and they had the mic, you know, for him, and then Barry Sanders went up there, and it was like on the top of his head.
So you're gonna call that the Madden curse?
I'm just coming off the dome. I don't know. Possibly. Possibly. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it looks like, you know, Bortles, they're saying Bortles is not going to start. This is back to predicting NFL products this year and who's going to have value. We all know that everybody's going to be chasing Johnny Football. It's just a matter of what other guys are going to come out of this draft and have some collectability. Obviously, before the season starts, everybody's collecting everybody and this stuff's going to go crazy. But if Teddy Bridgewater is he going to get the nod over Castle? Is he going to start for the Vikings? Bortles?
Ponder's still there.
Ponder's there too, yeah, but I think Castle's their guy. I think they've given up on Ponder.
Oh, they have not given up on Ponder? Ponder's their quarterback. The only reason why Castle even played was because Ponder got hurt.
No.
I know Ponder has a noodle arm, but, you know. He's the quarterback. I mean, dude, he was drafted like 3 years ago, wasn't he? 4 years ago?
Yeah, so was a lot of people. Blaine Gabbert, so they were Jake Locker. But where's Blaine Gabbert now? Where's Blaine Gabbert? He's on the Niners as backup. He's backup of a backup.
No, he's the future. Yeah. That's the future. They signed him because Kaepernick's going to go somewhere else. And they're like, well, at least we have Blaine Gabbert as our future. We have a new stadium. It doesn't matter. We can go like 2-14. People are still going to come.
See, what you don't forget, and your quarterback was the last of the high money quarterbacks. At this point, these guys don't get paid anything. Even if they're in the first round, they don't get paid that much because they have the rookie refined salary cap. So if a guy doesn't perform in a year, he's out the door. You know, they're not going to hold on to him. You guys invested $60 million in Sam Bradford, and you can't give up on him even though he sucks. He's just got a hair part. That's all he's known for is his hair part. That's all it is. You can't give up on him, though. These guys can give up on their quarterbacks because they're not paying them anything. That's what you got to remember.
You act like $12 million like guaranteed money is like nothing. Like, oh, dude, you're only getting $12 million guaranteed. Don't worry about it. Like, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
Well, is Sam Bradford worth the $60 million contract that he signed? You guys are slaves to Sam Bradford at this point.
Dude, was David Carr worth the amount of money that he got?
No.
I mean, he would have been a good quarterback if they would have had an offensive line. Same thing with Sam Bradford. You can't play quarterback when you're behind a swinging gate.
Yeah, so it's a good point.
That's the kind of points I make. Good one.
Well, I mean, you guys have had low enough draft picks. You think you would have been able to figure it out and get some offensive line around him for the last 4 years, 3 years?
You mean high enough draft picks?
Same meaning.
Drafted in the 30s.
Yeah, you should have got all those big beefy linemen from that RG3 deal. Maybe you did. Maybe you got a few of them. He should perform. If he doesn't perform this year, I'm going to laugh my ass off if they say they trot out next year and they say Sam Bradford's still our starter. If you guys go 6-10 this year and Sam Bradford is the starter still next year, there's an absolute problem and somebody needs to be fired in St. Louis.
Okay, well, Sam Bradford is he's a free agent after this year. He's in a contract year. We're not going to sign. I mean, even if we do sign him to an extension, it's not going to be for the same amount of money that he got in the first contract.
Well,
so
I mean, I've seen what happened with Alex Smith for 5 years, and finally, you know, we built a team around him to win. But you shouldn't have to build a team around a quarterback to win. You should have a quarterback.
You ask anybody besides Shane, who's the better quarterback? Alex Smith or Sam Bradford, and they're going to say Sam Bradford. The one person who would say Alex Smith is Shane.
I said that 2 years into Alex Smith's run. I agree with you. But then he won some games. He got us into the NFC Championship. Well, not because of him, but then they're like, oh, maybe he's a good quarterback. Now he's done it in KC, but I think the team's built around him. It was KC was even rumored to grab a quarterback, and I think did they actually grab a quarterback late?
They did. They actually, he wasn't that late. Who did they get?
They got somebody.
Did they get AJ McCarron?
No, I think the Bengals grabbed AJ McCarron.
They got somebody, and I want to say like the third round.
Is it Mettenberger? Aaron Murray. They got Aaron Murray. Yeah, so, and he is guaranteed $2 million for a four-year deal. So, well, I mean, maybe not guaranteed, but that's how much his four-year deal was worth. It's $2
million. Oh, when was he drafted?
It doesn't say. I'm assuming fourth or fifth round because they have a couple guys ahead of him that are making more.
That's not a lot. It's not a lot of money at all. I mean, that's a lot of money, but for a quarterback, that's like – $500,000.
Well, they have that. They have that every round is different. Like it meant like who got Bortles is probably getting like $8 million. I mean, it's based on what you get drafted. Let me see if I can Google and see what makes it's. They have that structure now, where they can't have a guy that's got Drew Rosenhaus as his agent and want, you know, $100 million for his guy. So they have it structured. It started in 2011, and I don't know.
Well,
if they're
the Cam Newton draft.
$20 million 4 year. 4 years, $20 million. Bortles.
Not bad.
Signing signing bonus of $13 million.
That's like one year of Sam Bradford. His whole contract.
Right.
Shoot, came up.
Yeah, you know.
You know, so, but, you know, back to the, we keep going on these tangents, but it's, who's going to emerge from this? I honestly don't have a lot of faith in Teddy Bridgewater. The Patriots made a very interesting pick, and I think this guy's going to have some collectability, but the Jimmy Garoppolo pick in the second round was really, really interesting because they could have waited to the fifth or sixth round, got a guy like Aaron Murray. I mean, when you got to figure, you know, Tom Brady, it has, you know, 3-4 years left. So why would you draft a quarterback that low? I mean, if Brady gets hurt, are you going to stick Garoppolo in there? No, you're going to want to get a vet. So you would think that they would sign, like, you know, these guys that are looking for jobs out there. Like, you know, I can't think of any.
Are you forgetting Ryan Mallett? Ryan Mallett's still there.
Right. Well, yeah, but I don't know if any of the. I mean, maybe Ryan Mallett's ready, but yeah. Why did the Patriots draft a quarterback in the second round? I don't know.
Garoppolo is the future. Like dude, Harbaugh loved that guy. I'm surprised the Niners didn't grab him.
Was that why they picked him? Because they felt that the Niners were going to grab him there?
There's a possibility that the Niners were going to get him in the second round.
Real big stretch on that.
That's
all I'm saying. That's going to be an interesting.
I think
collectors were paying big money for Ryan Mallett in 2011. I mean, he was selling well because they thought he was the future. So now you fast forward 3 years later, and they drafted another early-round quarterback. So who's it going to be? Is it going to be Garoppolo? Is it going to be Mallett? Are they both going to be able to coincide? Is Mallett going to get traded to the Texans? Who knows?
Well, Mallett's got to be a free agent soon. So
yeah.
they're probably going to lose Mallett. This is probably Mallett's last year on his contract. So he'll go somewhere, and I don't know if he's going to start, but he'll go somewhere. And then you have Garoppolo as Brady's backup.
Yeah.
I like the move.
I don't know. We'll see. So,
I think everybody should go out, and I think David Fells is going to be—he's going to be the starter for the Bears.
The Bears? They dropped him like a fifth or sixth round.
Dude, Jay Cutler misses 4 to 6 weeks every year. David Fells is going—he's going to start this year at some point for the Bears.
Well, I did just say that he's a quick study and he's making good impressions with Trestman, so that's the latest on him. So maybe. Maybe.
Yeah,
I mean,
McCown's a starter.
McCown's a starter for the Bucs now. So take a back seat, Mike Glennon.
I know this, dude. I fly out to mini camps. I'm in the war room.
Well, so the first products we got on the docket for football season is the Panini Hot Rookies, which actually is a product that we helped make, in a sense. Well, we gave them input on making a 32-card pack that has all the teams represented, and then a second pack with just the hits, and then a second pack third pack with all the inserts. So that'll be pretty exciting. That'll be the first, I think, either that or Bowman football are going to be the two first products. So it'll be interesting to see how they configure it because it's going to be literally 20 days after the rookie premiere. So they got to get this stuff ready quick. So those are coming out late June, like around the 20th. So those are going to be the first products, and then I think Finest is around the corner, as well as Inception and Prestige. So those are going to be your early products, and then I think there's a few more products that are going to come out right before football season even starts. Go ahead.
We'll be on the cover of pretty much everything.
Johnny Football?
Yeah.
They may use Bortles early or Bridgewater early, but yeah, I mean, how many frickin' boxes was EJ Manuel on last year? I mean, he was on everything.
Dude, it's gonna be Johnny Football on everything.
I'm looking. EJ Manuel won. Well, Geno Smith was on two of them. Two, three, four. Kaepernick was on one of them. Five. Five boxes EJ Manuel so far. Just 2013 products. Here's another one, seven. He was on Spectra with Lux. And so, yeah, it was like Geno and, we got Tavon for Topps Chrome. Can't believe they put him on Topps Chrome box.
Good product.
Yeah, looks like it's a mixture of Geno and EJ Manuel. But the other thing with Johnny Manziel is the Browns came out and said that Bobby Hoyer is the captain of the ship. So for the beginning of the season. So Johnny Manziel may not even play either this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he should probably sit. He should probably sit for the first year.
Yeah, but that might be a good thing for his cards. People are trying to stop, speculate. A lot of collectors trying to pick him up. Next big thing. Might be good.
So. We'll see. I think we got to look out for some of those guys who were drafted late, like a Taj Boyd, somebody like that.
Yeah.
Those are the guys who can definitely emerge. We'll see.
I like Bishop Sankey, honestly. I think that guy is going to have – he may not have the highest collectability, but I think he's going to make the biggest impact on the field because Chris Johnson's not there anymore. This guy was drafted by the Titans, round two, running back. I mean, they don't really have any other running backs. So guy played well in college, got a great look at auto, which is going to – you know my theory. He got a great look at auto, translates on the field. So I think you might be looking at a big fan, not only fantasy stud, but a guy that may potentially get 1,000 yards in Bishop Sankey for the Titans, which Locker comes back. They got the two receivers with Wright and Hunter they drafted last year. Kendall Hunter or Justin Hunter last year and Kendall Wright the year before. So you got two pretty talented receivers there. And I think Bishop Sankey might make the biggest impact. That's my sleeper pick for this year as far as playability on the field.
Sweet.
You have a guy who stands out, put you in the spot?
Well, I already said, you want me to do a running back? Because I already said, I said David Fells, I think, is going to be good.
Huh.
Okay. I think he's going to be... I think he's going to be one of the best rookie quarterbacks out of the draft. And I'm not just saying that because...
You got to redeem yourself from Devin Mesoraco call, so...
That's true. I would like to listen to the archives last year. I probably said Vance... Well, no, I wouldn't say Vance McDonald was going to be good because he's a Niner. I think I probably said Robert Woods. I think I said he was – we should listen to the archives. I think I was big on Robert Woods.
I think you were. Yeah, I think you were.
And he had a good year.
Some of the early reports. Devontae Freeman from the Falcons, they're saying has a good shot. He's drafted in the fourth round, but they don't really have a running back there either. So they have they're talking big about him.
Wait, what? They don't have a running back? Are you kidding me?
Future
Hall of Famer. He's not gone.
The experiment didn't work for them. He obviously had his best years behind him.
Okay, he's still under contract.
I don't know. Is he?
It was a 2-year deal. Pretty sure he's not gone. And it wasn't his fault they had a bad season.
Well, he was hurt half the time.
He's still a good player, good football player.
He's got a bad back from carrying the Rams' entire team for like 5 years. I mean, that poor guy. They should just give him the Super Bowl championship just because. Jeez.
You know, the sad thing is that they never made the playoffs with him.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The guy, poor guy, ate shit for 5-6 years.
He ran his ass off for a subpar 500 team.
Yeah, sucks.
But he'll go to the Hall of Fame, so it's cool.
Well, I wanted to segue. We were talking about the Rams dynasty. Well, let's talk a little baseball. How about Cops dynasty? High-end baseball. High-end baseball product. They announced it. Looks pretty cool to me. Cards do.
How many cards?
I should say the card looks good to me because it's one card per pack. SRP of $250-ish per card.
$250.
So I don't know. I mean, the cards look good. I mean, they can pull it off if they can do it right. I think it'll be a good success. I mean, from a breaker standpoint, I'm wondering how we're going to do it because we do team-style breaks. Well, how are you going to do that? You could do a team style. You're going to piss 25 other people off if you're lucky. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting product. I thought that they would do a product like this, so that the writing was on the wall. For those that you don't know, it's Topps Dynasty. All the cards are going to be numbered to 10 or less. Baseball product, by the way, if I didn't say that already. And it's going to have all the big names, supposedly. It's got cut autos of Babe Ruth, you know, Ted Williams. I think you can even get Ted Williams' unfrozen head in there. No, I'm just kidding. You can get all kinds of cut autos of anybody who's anybody is going to be in that product. And it's their answer to Flawless. But what they did, instead of putting like a, you know, 10-card pack for $1,000 a box, they made it one pack, one card, $250. So I think it'll still be well-received, but I don't know. You buy one card, you pull. I mean, they can't obviously have Willian Rosario in there. They can't put, like, Todd Frazier in there.
You read my mind. I was like, I'm all, imagine the feeling you would have opening up a box of that, and you're like, number to 10, Willian Rosario. Oh, yeah, redemption.
Yeah, and I know this hobby is a high-risk, high-reward type of thing, but at least, like, you know, compare it to a box of, like, Bowman, you know, Bowman Jumbo or something, and you get, a you know, one of the $5 autos out there. But, you know, at least you got some base cards, you got some color, and, you know, you're satisfied. You can talk yourself. You can talk, and I know you guys all do this out there. You guys talk yourself into, you know, you open a box that's bad, you talk yourself into, well, you know, I did good last week or something. It's really going to be hard to talk yourself into a one hit if it's like a Willian Rosario. You're just going to be pissed off. So let's hope that they don't go that route. Let's hope that they do keep it real.
There shouldn't be Todd Frazier, Mesoraco, Cueto, Rosario. These guys should not be in the product.
Even then, what Paul O'Neill only sells for like $20-$30.
And are you gonna be happy? Are you gonna be happy with a like a Josh Hamilton auto? Because he'll probably be in there.
He'll be in there, yeah.
He'll be in there. Is that acceptable?
I guess. I mean, he's an all-star. You know, he's a good player.
Got an MVP.
That's
the thing. It's gonna be. You want high risk, high reward. This is the ultimate. And I know we've seen products like Flawless come out and all this stuff, but this is one card. This is go big or go home. You're gonna know right out of the gate if you just got a swift kick to the sack.
Right.
There's not gonna
That's
be any thinking about
no...
it.
There's no wait and see like a prospect product. You can't, you know, I pulled this guy. Maybe he gets called up and I, you know, you can't. You're pulling a – the only thing you could do with this is if you open it on release, it's just going to go down. So –
Like if you pull a Michael Kadire, you're pretty sure you know what kind of player Michael Kadire is. You're like,
right.
Okay. If you pull a – you think they would put D.D. Gregorius in there? They love D.D. Gregorius.
I'm trying to find the initial pictures of this product and see who they have on there, see if I can spot a bad one out the gate. I don't want to be negative about this product. Seems like we're ripping on it. Let's try to find the positive. What's the positive in this product? There's a need for this product? Do you think there's a need for this product?
If you buy a personal box, it's not going to take a lot of time to open it up. Is that a positive?
That's positive, yeah.
It's going to save time, not very time-consuming, easy to list on eBay?
Yeah, very much so.
A quick rip and flip, like literally quick rip and flip.
Quick rip
These
and flip.
These are
positive.
Yep.
I like that.
I don't know.
Probably
going to
be a smaller box. Small box, you can fit it maybe
small,
in your pocket.
Small box. Yeah, so you can use a flat rate, get it to your customer on eBay in 2 days.
Maybe if you went grocery shopping and your trunk is just full of groceries and you just had to stop by the LCS, you can actually still fit it in your trunk.
Or if you want to get your workout and maybe go do your run in the morning, you can also open up the product at the same time because it is only one card and you can probably put it in your pocket.
Yep. If you're you can smoke a cigarette while you're opening it, maybe. You know?
Maybe. That's a possibility. No, I mean, I know now we're just... Now we're just being dumb, but I don't know. I never thought I would say. I wish there was a couple base cards in there, you know, just a little something. I mean, it's gonna be, and it's really exciting to open up like the best of products. Like, I mean, I know I'm talking about Leaf right now. Really exciting, but it's real quick. I mean, it's just one and done. I mean, it's straight to the point. And that's what you're going to get with that. And we're talking at least $250 a box, probably going to be even a little bit more than that.
Right. I can tell you that the mock-ups, they don't actually have the cards. I mean, Beckett has an article on there. I'm sure if you search it, you can find other media outlets that have pictures of Topps Dynasty. But, I mean, the cards, they're kind of like a Panini black, Upper Deck black look. So it's kind of a black background on the card. The picture of the athlete is like a sepia toned and it's faded in the background. The patches they're showing are absolutely like insane. So like Ken Griffey, they got Ken Griffey Jr. and it's like half of the Mariners logo and then his signature's in silver and it's on you know blended in with him. It looks nice. So the subjects they're showing here is Ken Griffey, Miguel Cabrera, Mariano Rivera, Cal Ripken, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, and then you got cut autos of Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, Ted Williams. They got a Willie Mays patch auto, Sandy Koufax, Mariano Rivera. So, I mean, obviously what they're showing is guys you expect to be in here, but I can't assume that it's just going to be these guys. There's got to be more. So that's where that goes.
You know, I would love
especially
to see
especially if it's numbered to 10, right? So, you know, let's just do some quick math. So if they make every card, I mean, maybe there's one of one, too. So maybe there's, you know, maybe they'll probably do one of five. So let's just say every subset or every card is going to be a 16 print run, let's just say. So, I mean, they would have to put, I mean, if you did 16 times 100, that's 1,600 boxes. So that's, divided by 5, that's 320 cases. That's if you get 100 different cards in there. Do you think Topps only going to make 320 cases? Probably not. So that's my fear is, I mean, unless they pull that whole thing of there's a Ken Griffey Jr. number to 10, but then he's got another angle is number to 10, and then he's posing with the bat, and then he's posing with the glove. And so there's truly, you know, 50 Ken Griffeys as opposed to what we thought was his 15. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited about it, tell you that much. As much as I'm complaining about it, I'm excited to see the cards.
I think it's, there better not be any single color relics, period. Like at that price point for one card. Everything better be multicolored. It better be a patch and not just a single color jersey.
The Koufax does look single color though, the Koufax. But maybe that's because it's an older, you know, jersey.
Did they not have logos back in the day?
They did, but
were they just I know, but where are those patches at? Are they saving them for a rainy day?
Maybe they're saving them for this product. Let's hope. On Beckett.com, they did a poll, right? And they actually got a good response. First impression, you could pick need to see more of it, love it or hate it. So there was 42% of the people said they needed to see more of it. There was 36% of people said they loved it and 22% of the people that said hated it.
Now, this is an interesting question. Does the hobby need more high-end baseball card sets, right? Yes and no was the response. 79% of people said no. 457 people said that the hobby does not need any more high-end releases.
Huh.
Only 21% of the people said yes.
I think the complete opposite. I think that the baseball category needs more high-end.
But we're also taking the group break approach. We want more high-end for group breaks because nothing shows sexiness more than a card that has an amazing freaking patch on it and it's cut auto. You know, but the average collector maybe is saying, I want to be able to take $70-$80, go into my local card store and have a fun day with it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get it.
So, I don't know. Interesting. We'll have to see. I hope they do well with it. I really do. I hope it's a hit. I hope they actually pick and choose the right players and look at their values before they put it in the product. Like, you know, really choose the right kind of guys. So hopefully that does happen.
That's well, crazy. I mean, with baseball, you have a lot to choose from. I mean, they have their guys they like. Let's hopefully they stay away from them. Let's hopefully, I mean, Miley shouldn't be in the product. I mean, we can
right.
go on and on with guys that shouldn't be in the product. It's easy to do that. But
right.
it's up the top to make it right and put the right guys in the product. At that price point, there's really no excuse.
Yeah.
At that price point, it should be multicolored and legitimate either all-stars. Everybody should be an all-star if they're a current player or a legend.
Right.
So, we'll see.
Cal's got the first pick in the draft.
Come again?
Cavaliers won the lottery.
Oh, like, what are you talking about?
I'm trying to find out, did they name number two or number three? It says Cavs had a 1.7% chance of winning it.
Wow.
Got it.
Every year,
Crazy. Crazy. I know Ryan was hoping that the Lakers got the – did they just have to pick one? I mean, what – I'm trying to figure out who got second, who got third. We shall see, I guess. Oh, two is Bucks, third is 76ers. Thank you, Trevor. Fourth is Magic.
Oh, it's your team.
No, it's not. while you guys are listening to this podcast, you guys, this is old news already. Well, we're doing this is live, so. But before we go, we're going to have a giveaway coming up soon, but I wanted to talk and see what your thoughts were. Leave Trinity 2014, it was a highly anticipated release. Leave Trinity has, you know, done well with baseball, and it actually, you know, made its debut last year with football, and well-received. What are your thoughts on the product? We busted a case last week. What did you think about it?
I thought it looked really similar to the previous year. Really nice patches. Love the glass cards. They actually kept those almost identical as previous releases.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was more subjects this year than there was last year. Last year, it seemed like it was all of the marquee guys in, like, every box almost.
Yeah.
Where this year, there was a lot of guys that we were pulling out, and I was like, who? I'm like, did this guy even get drafted?
Yeah.
And a lot of defensive guys, a lot of guys on defense than
yeah.
I remember last year. So I think a bigger – obviously, let's face it, getting Manziel and Clowney were not cheap. So in order to change up the product a little bit, they had to add extra autos. I don't know if they didn't add extra autos, but just extra subjects.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel it wasn't – the value wasn't there like last year. But the card design, was really sleek. Again, I love the glass cards. I think they're really awesome. Overall, I think it's a good value. I don't know if it's a good value at where the box prices are right now, but because I know it did go up.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's went down since release date or not, but overall, good. For being a non-licensed product, I got to say it's still an amazing job by Leaf.
Yeah, yeah, he did well. I mean, what's not broke don't fix, basically. I mean, that's the approach he took. But last year they didn't have patch auto, so they did for baseball, though. So he did introduce the patch autographs this year, or last year it was either the inscription auto, a glass auto, or just patches. So this year did have the patch autographs, which probably cost even more, so that's why you see it a little watered down. But I think last year rookie class had to be tightened. I think he knew that he couldn't put some of these guys in there. So I think he made sure that the E.J. Manuels, the Geno Smiths, those guys were all, you know, coming out. But this year, I think he had a little bit more room to play with, and it may translate to better secondary market value, which I think it already has. I think the cards actually are surprisingly, for Trinity, I think they are doing much better than I expected. People willing to pay for these, you know, non-licensed kind of college airbrushed autos. So I'm actually going to lift those up right now, see what the top seller was. Obviously, it's going to be at Manziel, but I want to see what value one of his lower numbered cards that went for here. Let's see, go to completed listings. But yeah, the inscription autos are cool. Yeah, case prices are just absolutely crazy. I can't really. Johnny Manziel numbered 101, sold for $623. Not terrible. Not bad.
Not crazy.
Not crazy. Number to 25 sold for $300. Jordan Matthews, well, I can't tell what that sold for. Carlos Hyde, 101, sold for $282. Man, freaking Niner fans are crazy. Niner fans pay whatever. Blake Bortles sold for $275, a 101. A pure glass number to 10 of Johnny Manziel sold for $258. So, I mean, there's value to be had in those boxes for sure. And, you know, I've seen Carlos Hyde base auto sell for like $30-$40. So, you know, you can get some value even if you don't hit a Johnny. Jadeveon Clowney, 1 of 10, sold for $204. That's a lot of money for a defensive guy.
Yeah.
Granted, the patch is an Under Armour logo patch, number to 10, but still. So, well, we don't have a whole lot left. I wanted to quickly talk before we left about the new releases tomorrow, which is Crusade Basketball and Prism Baseball. I'm also going to open up the phone lines for a giveaway. So actually a giveaway into Prism Baseball to the first caller at 347-855-8815. 347-855-8815. Get a free spot in Prism Baseball for tomorrow. But it looks like Panini's kind of taken a lower price point attempt on both of these products. And from what I've seen with Prism so far, it seems like what I've seen on Blowout, people talking about it, they seem to like it. They like the lower price point. There's less cards, but there's still two autos. So we're going to have to see how it performs tomorrow. It's Panini has kind of faltered when it comes with the unlicensed baseball products besides National Treasures. So I have high hopes for this release tomorrow. I hope we can come back next week and talk about it and say, God, Prism Baseball was awesome. What are you thinking on the two releases tomorrow, Crusade NBA and Prism Baseball?
Crusade was a fun break last year. I'm interested to see what it looks like this year. And Prism Baseball last year, I didn't love it. And the secondary value also didn't love it.
right.
The golds didn't sell for much. The autos didn't sell for much. It's an interesting subject on the autos. I remember it was a lot of like Sergio Romo had an auto, which is weird.
Yeah.
A rookie auto, I think, actually. I think we were talking about that last year.
I remember that.
A lot of weird like subjects. I think they can only really go up. So I'm looking forward to it. And basketball, the Crusade is going to perform well, especially at a lower price point.
Yeah, they did well with Court Kings at the price point, Titanium at a lower price. I think they found a real good niche for some of these mid-level products this year compared to the 12-13 products that didn't do well, like the Brilliances, the Innovations. The price point was just a little too high, so they kind of cut out a little bit of the base guard, made just one last hit, and had a lower price point, and I think it's being receptive pretty well.
Yeah, Court Kings is a good product.
Yeah.
A really good product.
Yeah, I mean, you would think it's a $90 box, but it's like a $60 box.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it. It doesn't seem like there's a checklist. I'm trying to find a checklist on autos. I know they've got Trout in there and you know, Clayton Kershaw. Panini, this is for you know what I'm excited about? Blue Mojos.
Ah, yeah. What is up?
Blue Mojo, baby.
Getting excited.
Finally, my claim to fame. I'm in a product. No, just kidding. Blue Mojos, number to 75 or less. So I think we're going to have – I mean, that's actually going to be broadcast on number two, but then we're going to do a random on number one. I think I'm going to have to make a big deal about all the mojos that come out. I'm going to have to do it.
On the Ocho.
So they have Prism Silver Purple, number to 99. Mojos are number to 75. And Gold One of Ones are going to be the breakdown. So I'm hoping we get a lot of mojos.
Silver Purple?
It said Silver / Purple. Silver / Purple.
Oh.
So there's a silver parallel and a purple parallel of the autographs, numbered to 99.
Okay. Sweet. And they still have golds, right?
Yes. Oh, they have Jackie Robinson tribute parallels, numbered to 42.
That's cool.
It's not – there's no autos of those, but
yeah, but
they
I
have,
think maybe is it photos of guys wearing 42?
That would be cool. They should – yeah, they should do that. That would make
sense. Did I just blow everybody's mind?
I did.
I think I did.
So, and you're going to get six prisms per box, and half of them are going to be serial numbered. So that's pretty good value. So
cool.
there should be a lot of mojo in our life tomorrow. And hopefully yours out there as well. But we do have a caller online. The giveaway. I think it's probably Trevor. What's going on?
Thank you guys for having the show. It's lots of entertainment. On the soccer license, honestly, I'd be surprised if they had to pay anything for it. I think they just gave them the rights to the trading cards to broaden the spectrum. They've never been soccer cards. So FIFA probably just wanted to, A, thank them for their association through the sticker program, and B, like a trial balloon and see how it went.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good point.
That is a good point.
Topps has the English league locked up, so I don't really see how they could expand this when all people really, honestly, really care about is the European. Yeah, it's cool if they got Brazil and Colombia and everything else, but it's mainly a European-based set. So Martin is right. In 2 years, they're going to have the European Championship, but they're not going to really be able to capitalize anymore until then. They could hire someone like a Messi as a spokesperson and include those cards in, like, national treasures or whatever they do with the other non-sport-specific players. Like, they add in hockey players or whatever, and then just add extra wow factor, but I don't see them being able to take it really any further than that, because after the World Cup, it's pretty much dead for a year at least. They could maybe do like a Champions League thing, but then they'd have to – that's more of a club-focused thing, so they'd have to go to all the different clubs and do it that way.
Do you think that they're going to do a jumbo prism, or do you think they're just going to stop at what they did?
Honestly, if it was me, I would just do it like a gold standard or something. The prism was good, and that's obviously their flagship, but some of the stuff just looks like complete, I don't know, not very good.
Right. I agree. Yeah, I just thought that they would maybe pump out another release as soon as it gets the World Cup, you know, going on. Like, you know, the week of the World Cup, I thought.
Honestly, I think they released it. They released it so soon because they didn't expect the success, so they wanted it to be all, like, almost all sold out by the time the World Cup comes around, when it's, like, getting scarce already. And so when the World Cup comes around, people that hold on the boxes and then, like, want to resell them or whatever are going to be in luck.
Right.
They could
have,
I don't know, it's a month-long thing. They could have trial ballooned this in, like, March or whatever. Got in, everyone's really fired up, and then done like an NT soccer, and that would have sold out like almost instantly also. So
yeah, it'd be interesting
I still think we may see a higher end set come out after the World Cup. It's hard for me just to wrap my head around how they can just make one release, it be as big as it's been, and not capitalize on it.
Totally agree with you, but I'm ignorant on this thing, but they don't have other sticker booklets. I could be completely wrong, but they just do a World Cup sticker booklet when they could do a French league or a Spanish league or whatever else they wanted to do.
Yeah.
But that might oversaturate that, and they've obviously figured that out in the past 30 years or whatever they've been doing them for. So.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm pretty excited for it, and... yeah, it'll be fun.
Definitely.
Well,
thanks,
you guys have a nice
again.
Night, and I'll
you
definitely.
Too, man. And we'll see you in Prism Baseball tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll pull you something nice. Okay, winner, winner. So
winner.
I, you know, it's turned this football, baseball, basketball, little bit of hockey guy into like I can't wait for the World Cup now. I want to watch it. You know, so you know, I wait. That's what these cards have done for me as a non, you know, World Cup. I would see the highlights every once in a while in prior years, but now I'm like, I want to find out the schedule. I want to find out when I can start watching. I know some of the games are overnight, and you're going to watch your record and stuff like that. But I am looking.
Actually, it's only going to be a 3-hour difference. It's going to be like for us, it's going to be like an East Coast. Like start time.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, then that's right.
So yeah,
it's South America.
Yeah, so it's not going to be bad at all.
So sounds good. Well, I think we pretty much talked about everything I had on the docket. We've got 7 minutes left to spare, but I don't know if there's really anything else to talk about. So I think we're going to go ahead and end the show. But if you guys are looking to get into some breaks tomorrow, we got both the new releases we just talked about. Crusade Basketball. We got a 2-team style break. We got there are a few teams left, and then we got Prism Baseball, and then we got a random style of Crusade basketball case and a random half case that's pretty affordable, $29 a spot for Prism Baseball. So that should be fun. And it's only 26 spots, so we're going to have some good combo teams and stuff. So it should be pretty fun little day tomorrow. And so check that out, mojobreak.com. I'd like to thank Scott Allen once again from S Bay Cards for stopping by and having a you know, chat with us and great information about their upcoming releases, and really a great company and a great guy and, you know, great customer service. So definitely check some of their products out. I think they're really making some waves and doing some good things down there. So check them out. And other than that, Dan, you got anything else to say to the fine listeners out there?
No, that's it. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week.
Yep. Sounds good.
Maybe.
We'll see you guys. Maybe. Yeah, there's always a little bit of a question mark there. So
maybe.
We'll keep you on your toes. But thanks again. And for those who download on iTunes, thank you as well. And maybe we'll have a giveaway for you guys that listen to the archive so that we can, you know, because not everybody can listen to us live. So we'll maybe figure something out in the future for that. But other than that, we'll see you guys later and have a good one.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.